Enough to Crush Your Veins by Dr. Denmark, read by Isweden, Part 4. Eric is gone by the time Jeff manages to drag himself out of bed the next morning. Jeff thinks that maybe he heard the car leave, but maybe he's just imagining things. There's coffee waiting for him, though, and Jeff is pathetically grateful, even though Linda is probably the one who made it. When he's caffeinated and has managed to force himself to eat enough toast that his stomach stops rolling, he heads out into the yard, where Linda is playing with Joey. He doesn't want to talk to Linda. He'd actually be happy if he never had to face her again. "Hi, sweetie," Linda says, when she sees Jeff. "I'd ask if you had fun last night, but, well..." "I am so, so sorry," Jeff says, blushing hard. Linda laughs. "Kid, if you think I haven't seen worse..." She trails off. "Well," she says finally, "you ask Jordan what kinds of things I saw when he was a teenager." Jeff takes a sip from the mug of coffee he's still carrying. "It was inappropriate. I'm sorry." "Hi, Jeff!" Joey yells, even though he's only a couple of feet away. Jeff winces. He's not feeling terrible, but he does have kind of a headache. "Hey, buddy," he says. "You want me to push you on the swing?" "Nope," Joey says. "I want to play in sand." "We can do that," Jeff says. Joey reaches up and grabs Jeff's hand and leads him over to the sandbox. It's warm out, and Jeff is happy to sit in the sun and watch Joey build sandcastles and then stomp on them. Linda brings lemonade and makes both of them put on sunscreen. Eventually, Jeff's headache eases, and his stomach feels better, and then Jeff shows Joey how to sculpt a turtle out of sand, which is apparently very impressive. "Daddy!" Joey yells. "Look what Jeff built at me!" Jeff looks over his shoulder, and sure enough, there's Eric striding across the yard towards them. "Wow," Eric says, looking into the sandbox. "That's a great tortoise." "It's a turtle, Daddy," Joey says. "That's a great turtle," Eric says. "It's absolutely not a tortoise." "It's like in Nemo," Joey says. "First you were like, whoa. Then we were like, whoa," Eric quotes. "And then you were like, whoa." Eric leans into the sandbox and scoops Joey up into his arms for a hug. Joey giggles madly as Eric holds him upside down for a moment, before setting him back in the sandbox. "Hi," Eric says to Jeff. "Hi," Jeff says, not really looking at Eric, because if he looks at Eric, he isn't sure he can do this. "Hey, Joey. Can you go ask your grandma to get some more lemonade?" Jeff asks. Joey nods and toddles off towards the kitchen door. Jeff watches him go, making sure he doesn't trip or fall. "About last night," Eric says. Jeff cuts Eric off. "We were both drunk," he says, never taking his eyes off Joey. "I don't remember anything that happened after we left the bar." You don't?" Eric asks, almost stuttering. "No," Jeff says. "I feel like such an idiot." That part, at least, isn't a lie. Jeff leaves Eric to play with Joey. He's had enough of the sun, and it's making his head hurt. They were supposed to take Joey skating today, but that's the last thing he wants to do. He heads up to his room and tries to nap for a while, and when that doesn't work, he ends up fucking around on the internet for a while. He loses a couple of hours on Cracked, and a couple more watching episodes of The Office on Hulu. It's not funny, but it kills time pretty well. By the time dinner arrives, he's almost forgotten why he's up here. But when Linda comes and knocks on his door, he almost pretends he's asleep. "You coming down for dinner, kid?" she asks. Oh, right, Jeff says, shutting his laptop. The laptop Eric gave him. And follows her downstairs. Joey insists that Jeff sit next to him, penance for leaving earlier, and Jeff ends up having to almost coax Joey through his meal. He's fidgeting and trying to get out of his seat, and he's more pushing his food around his plate than actually eating it. "You have to take at least 5 more bites, buddy," Jeff says, leaning over to cut Joey's chicken up into smaller bites. "And at least 2 of them have to be vegetables." Joey pouts, but takes a forkful of peas. Eric is obviously watching them, but he's pretending to stare out of the window, and Jeff has no idea what's going on. It's not like he's trying to overstep his role, but Eric's just sitting there, and Joey has to eat. "I'm done," Joey says. "You still have 3 more bites to go," Jeff says. "No," Joey says, throwing his fork down and shoving his plate away from him. "Come on, buddy," Jeff says, gently pushing the plate back towards Joey. He picks up Joey's fork and holds it out. 3 bites, and then you can go play." "Daddy," Joey whines. Joey's been like this a couple of times before, and on any other day, Jeff would probably be able to deal with this fine. "It's okay," Eric says. "You can go play." Jeff wants to say something, to tell Eric that he can't undermine him like that, but Eric is Joey's dad, and Jeff is the babysitter, so he goes back to picking at his own chicken. It's not his problem if Joey whines that he's hungry at bedtime. "I can clean up," Jeff says, when Eric and Linda are done. "It's okay, sweetie," Linda says. "You go play with Joey." "I'm pretty sure he's mad at me," Jeff says, trying to smile. "I think I'm just going to go to bed." Eric barely even looks at Jeff. He just heads over to sit on the couch with Joey, who's looking at a book. Eric is gone when Jeff gets up the next morning. He almost forgets that he's supposed to be going to the game until he checks his phone and finds 7 texts from Libby asking him to pick up things so they can tailgate at the game. Jeff showers and dresses, but when he sees the jersey, Eric's jersey, hanging in his closet, he stands and looks at it for a long time. He should wear it. It would be weird not to wear it. But suddenly it seems unbearably intimate to wear something that Eric wore. Linda and Joey are in the kitchen when Jeff comes down to grab at least some coffee before he runs out of the door. "I can get you some toast or an English muffin," Linda says, looking disapproving as Jeff just fills a travel mug from the coffee pot. "No, it's fine," Jeff says. "I'm basically going to eat my weight in chips later, so..." Linda just looks at him. "Take a banana, at least," she says. "Bye, buddy," Jeff says to Joey. "I'll see you later." Joey ignores Jeff and munches his cereal determinedly. Jeff gets to the SUV and unlocks it before everything just feels completely wrong. If he didn't think Libby would hunt him down, he'd fake being sick. He runs back into the house, up the stairs, into his room, and grabs Eric's jersey from his closet, on his way down to the car as he's shutting the garage door behind him. He thinks maybe he hears Joey calling his name, but he has to go or he's going to be late. He's late to pick up Libby and her brother anyway, because the lines at the grocery store were crazy, even though it's just after 10:30 on a Sunday. "Seriously," Jeff says, "next time you can buy your own chips." "Seriously," Libby parrots sarcastically. "How are you in this terrible a mood after midterms?" Jeff closes his eyes and tries not to be an asshole. "Sorry," he says. "Family stuff." "Oh," Libby says. "Right. Family stuff. You can tell me later." She pats him on the back in a not at all comforting way. "Anyway, Jeff, you remember my brother Aaron, right?" "Hey," Aaron says, holding a hand up in an abortive wave. "Hey," Jeff says. "We should go get Matt." "Right," Libby says. "He needs to pop his NHL cherry." "Wow," Aaron says. "You have a way with words." "Shut the fuck up, asshole," Libby says. Libby sits in the front next to Jeff and continues to bicker with Aaron all the way to Matt's house, and then all the way to the rink. Matt, who's an only child, looks a bit pained, but this is the most comfortable Jeff's felt in days. He can deal with sibling rivalry. Tailgating, as Libby and Aaron try to explain, is an art form. Jeff is pretty mystified by it all, but they sit in folding chairs in the parking lot, drink beer that Aaron bought for them, and eat a lot of food, surrounded by groups of people doing the same thing. There's music playing, and slowly, Jeff starts to relax. "Is that your jersey? It's what, 06 from the cup run?" Aaron asks. Yeah, Jeff says. "I think so. It was my roommate's." Libby looks at him with an eyebrow raised, and Jeff tries hard not to blush. "That's pretty cool," Aaron says. "You're the Leafs fan, though. That must suck." Jeff rolls his eyes, grateful the moment has passed. "They're my hometown team." "They're still terrible," Aaron says. "Reimer's pretty good," Jeff says, "and we're doing better than last year." "You just lost to Columbus," Libby says. Jeff doesn't have an answer to that, so he takes another sip of his beer and listens as Libby tries to explain Kane's vision to Matt. "No, but okay, here," Libby says, pulling out her phone. "It's not just about hockey. They ask them all kinds of random stuff. They just posted this one yesterday. They have Eric Staal, he's the captain, talk about what his favorite toy was when he was a kid." She holds it out for Matt to see, but even from where Jeff is sitting, he can hear Eric's voice, and it makes his stomach twist uncomfortably. "Okay, and here. I guess his family was in town or something, but here's his mom saying what Staller was like when he was a kid." Hearing Linda's voice is even stranger, and Jeff just sits there, squinting at the sky until Libby's done. Eventually, it's time to pack everything back into the car and head into the rink. He's pretty much been won over by tailgating, and the sun, the food, and the one beer he's had have almost rescued the weekend from being the worst of his life, barring the fucking up his knee thing. He follows Libby around the parking lot and towards the door. Just before they head inside, he thinks he hears someone yelling his name. Jeff stops, looks around, and there, barreling towards him as fast as he can, is Joey. "Jeff! Jeff! Jeff! Jeff!" Joey says, holding his arms up. Jeff scoops him up without thinking, and it takes him a moment to realize just how bad this is. "Hey, Joey," he says. He hadn't even realized Linda was bringing him to the game. Where's your grandma? This is not good. This is the farthest thing from good. Joey doesn't answer right away. He just buries his face into Jeff's neck. Jeff looks around again. He can see Libby biting her lip to keep from laughing. Matt looking incredibly confused, but no Linda. She has to be somewhere, though. If he can just find her without... Joey mumbles something into Jeff's neck. Sorry, buddy, he says. I can't hear you. He's trying so hard to hold it together, but he thinks his voice is shaking a little. Sorry I was bad, Joey says carefully. Don't be mad. I'm not mad. Jeff is cut off when he hears Linda yelling Joey's name. She sees him and hurries over, and Jeff almost sees it happen in slow motion. The moment when Libby's eyes go wide and she puts it all together. Joseph Stahl, Linda says. You never, ever, ever run off like that. Do you hear me? Joey clings tight to Jeff, and Jeff clings back. Jeff, honey, Linda says, I'm so sorry. It's... Jeff's voice comes out scratchy and raw, so he swallows a couple of times and tries again. It's fine. Well, not that he ran off, but... I drawed you a picture, Joey says. You'll have to show me when we get home, Jeff says, and Joey snuggles closer again, grabbing fistfuls of Jeff's shirt. It's you and Daddy and me, Joey says, and Jeff had almost forgotten Libby, Matt, and were even there until he hears Libby choke off a squeak. Oh, right, Jeff says. Not really wanting to do this, but knowing it would be unforgivably rude not to. Linda, this is Libby and Matt. They're at Duke with me. And, this is Aaron, Libby's brother. She points to each of them in turn. And, guys, this is Linda. She's my roommate's mom. He can't bring himself to say Eric's name. Like somehow it will make him appear and sink the final nail in his coffin. Even though he rationally knows Eric is probably on the ice skating warm-ups at this point, he can't help worrying. Hi, Matt says. He's understandably the least fazed. Nice to meet you. And this is Joey, Jeff says. Hi, Joey mumbles into Jeff's chest, and he waves half-heartedly. I'm Joey Stahl. I'm 3½. Hi, Aaron says, seeming mostly recovered. He holds out his hand for Joey to shake. Okay, kid, Linda says. Time to let Jeff go watch the game with his friends. Joey holds on tighter and shakes his head. I want to watch with Jeff, he says. You can't, buddy, Jeff says, trying to pry Joey's fingers from his shirt. We only have 4 tickets, and there are 4 of us. You go with your grandma. I can probably call someone, and you guys can come up with us to the box, Linda says, pulling out her phone. No, Libby says, so quietly that it's hard to hear her. No, don't do that. I'm not feeling great. I was thinking of calling a cab and going home. Joey... Libby stops and swallows. He can have my ticket. Libby, no, Jeff says. I'll go with Linda. If anyone should go, it should be him. You're the ride home, Libby says. I have a headache anyway. She walks away before Jeff can protest again. Are you okay to take him? Linda asks. You don't have to. Sure, Jeff says, because at this point, what else can he say? You have to be good, though, buddy, he says to Joey. It's not like in the box where you can go play if you're bored. Joey nods vigorously. Promise, he says. Okay, awesome, Aaron says, making an effort to smile down at Joey. Matt here's never been to a hockey game before. You can show him what to do. We cheer for Daddy, Joey says to Matt, who stifles a smile. I guess we should go, Jeff says. You want to walk, buddy? He asks Joey. Joey shakes his head, and they head into the RBC Center to watch the game like nothing's happened. Like he hasn't basically fucked his friendship with Libby forever. Joey ends up sitting between Jeff and Matt. He insists on sitting in his own seat, even though he's not going to be able to see a thing from there. Aaron keeps looking over and blinking, like he's realizing over and over that this is actually happening. As soon as the game starts, things are easier. Jeff ends up holding Joey half the time so he can see, but Joey gets caught up in the atmosphere and concentrates far better than he ever seems to have before. He keeps enthusiastically yelling along with the crowd and booing when Anthony Stewart gets a 2-minute penalty for hooking, putting the Canes on the PK for the last 48 seconds of the first. It's still scoreless when the buzzer ends the period. So, Aaron says, turning to Matt, any questions? Not really, Matt says. I mean, I get the whole shoot the puck at the net stuff. It's just going to take a while to get much further than that. Watch a lot of hockey, Jeff says. It's pretty much the only way you actually learn what's going on. This he can do. This feels normal. But he knows it should be Libby doing this, and that's almost painful to think about. I'm hungry, Joey says. Okay, buddy, Jeff says. We can go get you something to eat. I'll go, Matt says. I want to go call Libby anyway, just to make sure she got home okay. Thanks, Jeff says. That's a good idea. I want a hot dog, Joey says. Say please, Jeff reminds him automatically. Matt smirks at Jeff. You're mean, Dad, huh? Jeff can't even be bothered to reply to that, but he checks that Joey can't see and flips Matt off. Want a hot dog, please, Joey repeats. Sure thing, Matt says, and edges along their row to the aisle. It's quiet for a few minutes. Joey is sitting in Jeff's lap, sucking his thumb and looking around, and Aaron is just looking at them. So, Aaron says eventually, when you said your roommate gave you that shirt. Jeff is startled into a laugh. Yeah, I don't know, he just gave it to me. That could, Aaron lowers his voice. That could be the jersey he wore when he won the Stanley Cup. I'm pretty sure it's not, Jeff says. Aaron looks pretty disappointed. Oh, he says. I'm pretty sure that one's hanging on the wall in the den, Jeff says. I know where the one from the Olympics is. Aaron's eyes widen. Have you met Bryn DeMoor? Aaron asks. I mean, I'm totally straight, but I would for him. He actually looks a little dreamy. Jeff is kind of weirded out. Jeff is rescued from the awkwardness by Matt coming back, laden down with food and soda for everyone. He's not hungry, but eating gives him something to do, so he digs into the chicken sandwich Matt brought for him. Joey manages to get ketchup all over himself. And for a moment, Jeff thinks about taking a picture to show Eric later, but then he remembers that everything's weird with Eric, too. The rest of the game goes pretty quickly. Jeff knows he probably is going to pay later for the amount of soda he lets Joey drink. The kid is so hyped up he's vibrating in his seat when it goes to overtime tied 1-1. And when Eric scores the winning goal, he completely loses it. He does a little dance of joy that has Matt and Aaron laughing really hard, and Jeff has to pick Joey up to stop him tripping over his own feet. Jeff, Joey says, bouncing in Eric's arms. Daddy won! I know, buddy, Jeff says, hoping that the people sitting around them aren't paying attention to them. Daddy won! Daddy won! Daddy won! Joey sings to himself. Jeff's phone vibrates in his pocket, and it's an effort to get to it without dropping Joey. Oh, hey, Jeff says, opening the text. Linda says to meet her in 20 minutes. She has the car seat, so Joey has to go home with her. Sounds good, Aaron says. Want to wait at the car? Jeff shrugs, but follows the crowd out of the arena. He remembers to take Joey into the bathroom, and when they're finally done, it's not such a crush heading out to the parking lot. By the time they get back to the car, Jeff's glad they're not trying to get out right away. There's a jam of cars trying to leave the lot. They're parked beside a patch of grass, so Jeff lets Joey run around for a while to burn off some energy. Linda texts about half an hour later to ask where they are, and thankfully, by now, most of the cars have gotten out of the lot, and Matt is playing catch with Joey. I did wonder why you had a bunch of toys in the back of your car, Matt says to Jeff, watching Joey chase after the ball. Jeff texts Linda to tell her where they are, but a few minutes later, it's not Linda who walks over. It's Eric and Cam. Hi, Jeff, Cam says, grinning in kind of an alarming way. You're Cam Ward, Aaron says, sounding incredibly freaked out. Yep, Cam says. Hi. Daddy! 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 Joey says, running over. Hey, buddy, Eric says. Did you have fun? Yeah, Joey says. I eated a hot dog and you won. Technically, the whole team won, Cam says. Joey seems to notice Cam for the first time and shrinks backwards. Stop scaring my kid, Eric says, leaning down to pick Joey up. Congratulations on the win, Matt says. Thanks, Eric says. You're Matt, right? Nice to meet you, finally. Today was your first game, right? Oh, yes, Matt says. Probably not the last, though. That's good to hear, Eric says, putting on his best captain voice. New fans are great. And any time you want to a game, just ask Jeff to ask me. Thanks, Matt says. Jeff is frozen to the spot. What the hell is Eric even doing? No problem, Eric says. Any friend of Jeff's? Libby is going to be so pissed she missed this, Aaron says, mostly to himself. You should probably take Joey and head off, Jeff says, before Aaron can say anything else, or Eric can ask him where Libby is. I'll see you at home, Eric asks. Right, Jeff says, suddenly self-conscious. Jeff! Jeff! Joey says, reaching out towards him from Eric's arms. Jeff has to go over and give him a quick hug, even though it means he's basically hugging Eric, too. Oh, hey, Eric says, nudging Jeff as Jeff pulls away. Can you get some milk on your way home? I think we're out. Sure, Jeff says. Cam smirks. You need to train him better, Jeff, If I ask Cody to run to the store, she'd tell me where to go. Jeff flushes, as usual. Cam and Eric walk away, and Joey turns in Eric's arms to wave at Jeff. So, Matt says, your excuses about family stuff make a lot more sense now. Seriously, Aaron says. Just, that was weird. Awesome, but weird. Jeff isn't sure about the awesome part. The next morning, Libby doesn't show up for econ. She's not the only one missing. Half the class seems to have decided that they need it more than the weekend to recover from midterms. It's not like Jeff is going to pretend this is just a coincidence, though. He takes his usual seat, next to an empty space, and makes sure to take really detailed notes that he can photocopy for Libby, if she ever speaks to him again. Matt is waiting for him outside when class finishes. I thought you could probably use this, Matt says, handing Jeff a huge Starbucks cup. It's not Tim Hortons, but it's caffeine, and that's all that really matters. Jeff takes a sip. It's a latte, with probably 3 times the amount of espresso Jeff would normally have. Thanks, Jeff says. I didn't sleep that well last night. Matt shrugs. I guessed, he said. They head out into the quad, and Matt steers them over to an empty bench. She's pretty pissed right now, Matt says. Yeah, Jeff says. I was going to text her, but... I'm pretty sure she would have thrown her phone out of the window, Matt says. Jeff isn't as close to Matt as he is to Libby. He likes the guy, but the three of them are friends because Libby was friends with both of them. Matt's a good guy, though. It wasn't like I meant to lie to her, Jeff says. Is it a cliche to say I just didn't know how to explain it? Yeah, Matt says. You explain it using words. It's not like we hadn't figured out your life was a little complicated. The fact you basically never talk about anything personal was a clue. I just wanted to be a regular student, Jeff says, knowing he's basically whining. Matt grins. Dude, you live with a freaking millionaire Olympian who is so into you it's ridiculous. You have a kid who adores you. You drive a swank SUV. And somehow, you manage to juggle all that with being the smartest guy in any of your classes. I'll totally trade you my shitty dorm room, my roommate who is allergic to laundry, and a diet of ramen. I don't, though, Jeff says. I'm just the babysitter with a stupid crush on my boss. That's really, really not what it looked like, dude, Matt says. We're friends, Jeff says. Eric's my friend. Maybe even my best friend. But we're not together. And we're never going to be. He's never going to see me as anything but the 17-year-old kid I was when we met. How did you meet him? Matt asks. I mean, seriously, start at the beginning. Explain it to me. I don't give a shit, and I didn't even know who Eric Stahl was until yesterday. Then you can work out how to explain it to Libby. Matt pauses. When she's ready to talk to you again. You know, she has a pretty huge crush on your boyfriend. Jeff ignores the boyfriend crack. She does? He'd honestly never realized. You're pretty terrible at reading people, aren't you? Matt says. And go. From the beginning. We met at the Olympics in Vancouver. Jeff says. How? Did you, like, sneak into a party or something? Matt asks, incredulous. No, Jeff says. I was competing. Matt's mouth drops open. Seriously? He asks. Yeah, Jeff says. I came 24th in the men's figure skating. He grins, a little lopsided. You competed in the Olympics when you were 17, Matt says. Jesus Christ, Jeff. Jeff shrugs. I wrecked my knee, like, 2 months later, he says. I'm never going to compete again, so it didn't matter anymore. This is going to take a while, isn't it? Matt says. But he doesn't sound mad. Jeff tells Matt everything. It basically takes all morning, and a second cup of coffee each. But when he's finally done, Matt is still there. And he didn't even flinch at the drunken kissing part. Jeff has no illusions about how a lot of straight guys would have handled that, but Matt just nodded sympathetically. So, Matt says eventually, I'm not saying you were right to lie, but I get why you did. Just, okay, look, if you need to talk, I'll listen. I probably won't be able to say the right thing or anything, but I can sit there and look interested. Jeff can't help laughing. Thanks, I guess, he says. The week drags. Linda leaves, and somehow, juggling school and looking after Joey seems harder than it did before. Eric is gone all week, playing the Devils and then the Rangers. When Jeff sets up the laptop so Joey can see Eric on Skype, Mark is there too, and Jeff feels kind of stupid for not realizing that Eric would be hanging out with his brother. On Wednesday, Libby's there in econ class, but she sits right at the back, as far away from where Jeff is as she can get. Jeff ignores everything except the professor's voice and the PowerPoint slides. That night, when he gets home, he sets up Skype again for Joey to talk to his mom. It's nice, and Sarah is more than friendly, but Joey's upset after, and so Jeff ends up having to sit on the floor next to Joey's bed until he finally cries himself out and falls asleep. It's not the greatest thing ever for his knee. And he ends up having to pop a couple of painkillers before he can sleep. On Thursday, Jeff arrives a couple of minutes late for their econ study group because his chem lecture runs late. Libby's already there, grinning with Marie about something. So Jeff turns around and walks away. His knee is still hurting, and he's pretty far ahead in econ already. He cuts the rest of his classes and ends up in a Starbucks near Joey's daycare, reading Othello for his lit class. It's the most depressing afternoon he's had in a while. By the end of the week, Jeff is exhausted, a little behind on his work, and for the first time, he's having trouble understanding some of the stuff in his econ reading. They're doing a section that's pretty mathematically based, and as usual with math, Jeff is a little lost. He tries to get to his TA's office hours, but she has them 4 to 6 on a Friday, and Jeff has to pick up Joey. Hi, Jeff, Joey says, when Jeff arrives to pick him up from daycare on Friday afternoon. Hey, buddy, Jeff says, how was your day? Great, Joey says, before running off to get his backpack from his cubby. because it's just them. Eric won't be back until the early hours. And it's almost the weekend. Jeff decides to declare tonight pizza and movie night. "Wanna watch Nemo?" Joey says. "Absolutely," Jeff says, even though Joey watches that movie at least once a week, and Jeff can probably quote it by heart. Jeff orders vegetable pizza and gets Joey to help him make a salad, tearing up lettuce leaves and putting cherry tomatoes in the bowl. But they eat in the den, and after they've eaten, Joey climbs into Jeff's lap to watch the movie. It's probably the best moment of Jeff's week so far. Joey's presence is amazingly comforting, and somehow, Jeff finally manages to relax. They end up lying stretched out on the couch, and Jeff's knee stops throbbing quite as much as it had been. After Joey falls asleep, Jeff switches over to see how the game is going, just in time to see Eric get an assist on a goal that puts the Canes up 2-1. It feels weird to not be able to text Libby about it, though, so he switches back and watches the end of Finding Nemo. He must fall asleep at some point, because the next thing he knows, Eric is standing over him and nudging him awake. "Looks like you two had a party without me," Eric says, half grinning. "God, I'm so sorry," Jeff says. Joey never even got his pajamas on. He's still dressed in the clothes he wore all day. "Jeff," Eric says, you do a great job with him. You know that, right? I know I'm kind of a dick sometimes, but you're really good at this stuff. Better than me, probably." Jeff blinks up at Eric. "He's pretty easy, as little kids go," he says. "He's amazing," Eric agrees. "But thanks anyway. I couldn't do this without you. Having you here makes everything better." He leans down and kisses Jeff on the cheek, then picks Joey up and carries him up to bed. Jeff stays on the couch a long time. "Maybe," he thinks, "just maybe, Eric might be interested in him after all." Eric is in the kitchen making coffee when Jeff gets up the next morning. Joey is still fast asleep, so it's just the two of them. "I was going to make an omelet," Eric says. "You want one?" "Sure," Jeff says, leaning around Eric to grab a mug. "You want any help?" Eric grins. "If you chop the bell pepper that's in the refrigerator, and maybe some ham, I'll do the rest." They work quietly next to each other at the counter. Jeff refills Eric's coffee mug when it's empty, and makes some toast to go with their omelets, and soon their breakfast is ready. "We make a pretty great team," Eric says. "I guess so," Jeff says, hiding his smile by taking a bite of toast. They sit side by side at the counter, eating, and Eric tells Jeff all about his trip to New York. It's comfortable, in a way it hasn't been for weeks, and even with the fact that Libby still isn't talking to him, Jeff feels something uncurl inside of him. He can feel that hope again, that this could be something, him and Eric, that maybe Eric can see past the age difference and understands that Jeff's not a normal 19-year-old. "Shit," Eric says, looking at the time. "Okay, I have to go, but I'll be back after morning skate. You want to come to the game tonight?" "I want to," Jeff says, and Eric grins. "But probably Joey shouldn't be up that late." Eric's face falls, but only for a second, before he gets his "I love my kid" smile. Yeah, Eric says. I guess so. Joey is cranky when he wakes up, and a little upset not to have seen Eric, but Jeff makes him waffles. They end up going out to the park for a while, and Joey has a great time racing around and playing on the swings. When they get back home, Eric is just pulling into the drive. Daddy! Joey squeals. Hey, buddy, Eric says, getting out of the car. I missed you. Me too, Joey says. Jeff and me watched Nemo and eat it pizza. I know, Eric says. And then you both fell asleep on the couch. Eric looks over at Jeff. Your dad's just jealous he missed it, Jeff says. They all eat lunch together out on the deck. It's cool enough to do that now. And Joey and Jeff eat sandwiches while Eric eats a mound of chicken and pasta. When it's time for Eric to go take his pre-game nap, Joey decides he wants a nap too, and the two of them settle on the couch to sleep for an hour. Jeff pulls out Othello and sits in the armchair. He doesn't concentrate very well. He keeps getting caught up, just watching Eric and Joey sleep. It's just so comfortable. It feels like family. Later, when Eric has to leave for the rink, Jeff and Joey are playing catch in the garden. Joey's not very coordinated yet, but he's getting better. And Jeff can tell from the way he's determined to try again and again, until he finally gets it, that he's his father's son. Bye, buddy, Eric says, coming over to kiss Joey on the forehead before he leaves. Bye, Daddy, Joey says. Eric turns to head away. Daddy, Joey says. Jeff, too. Bye, Jeff, Eric says, rolling his eyes. No, Joey says. Properly. Eric laughs. Okay, buddy, he says. He walks over to Jeff and quickly kisses Jeff on the forehead, too. Bye, he says quietly. I'll see you tonight. Jeff can feel himself blushing. Jeff manages to watch the second half of the game once he gets Joey in bed. He hadn't realized it was the Pens they were playing, and towards the end of the second, the Canes are down 3-1. It's not pretty, and Jeff has a horrible feeling it's going to be kind of a blowout. He's halfway into the kitchen a few minutes into the third, going to grab a drink, when he hears something about stall and goal from the TV. But when he turns to look, it's Jordan, not Eric, who scored. His fingers are itching to text Libby about this, but he can't. He texts Matt instead, but doesn't get a reply. He waits up for a while, but when it gets to midnight and Eric isn't back, Jeff realizes that Eric's probably either trapped talking to the press, or he's gone to hang out with his brother for a while. A little after one, he hears a car pull up, and gets out of bed to go say hi, and to commiserate on the loss. He's halfway down the stairs when the door opens, and Jordan walks in first. Jeff hovers on the stairs, knowing it's kind of creepy to lurk like this, but not wanting to intrude. Are you sure, though? Jordan is saying. Like, I know I don't give a shit, and nobody who matters will. But, you know, if it's serious, it's not going to stay secret. Jeff freezes. He should go upstairs, or make some noise or something, because it's not like he's ever learned anything good from eavesdropping. I don't care, Eric says. Like, I know I said it would never work, but God, it feels like this is my chance. I can't not go for it, you know. I'm not staying in the closet forever. Holy shit. Jeff has to bite his lip. He's smiling so hard. He heads back up the stairs, his stomach churning with anticipation and excitement. Eric could be talking about anything, but Eric kissed him. And maybe, just maybe, Eric wants him too. It takes him a long time to fall asleep, and he hears Jordan leave an hour or so later. He wakes up early, too, so he decides to go and use the workout equipment that Eric has in the basement. He hasn't worked out, other than chasing a preschooler around, for a while, and he's pretty horrified with how quickly he gets tired. He feels good, though. By the time he's done, though, he's pretty sweaty and looking kind of gross. He pulls off his shirt and wipes his face with it. Jeff heads upstairs, wanting to take a shower, but as he passes the kitchen, he notices that Eric's already up. "Oh, hi," Jeff says, feeling stupidly tongue-tied. "Hey," Eric says, staring at him. "Sorry," Jeff says. "About last night, I mean. That sucked." Eric seems to pull back into himself, and then smiles ruefully. "Yeah, well," he says, "next time, right?" "Right," Jeff says, running a hand over the back of his head self-consciously. He'd wanted to look good today. "I was thinking, though, do you maybe want to go out today? Maybe take Joey skating?" "I can't," Eric says. "Or maybe later. I have a thing. I know I was supposed to be home today, but you don't have plans, right?" "Not really," Jeff says. "Is Jordan staying in town an extra day? He could come too." No, Eric says, looking a little embarrassed. "I'm having brunch with a friend. My ex-boyfriend. His company is transferring him back here, and he called yesterday right before the game to say he's in town for the weekend, so..." "You don't mind, right?" "No," Jeff hears himself say, but it's automatic. "That's fine. I need to go shower." Jeff almost runs up the stairs and into the bathroom. He strips off his clothes, turns on the shower, and almost flings himself under the spray. He thinks he might throw up, and he feels so, so stupid. He should have known. It's his own fault for eavesdropping. Again. Of course Eric didn't mean him. Jeff is only ever going to be Eric's friend, or Eric's drunken mistake. He washes his hair methodically, concentrating on his breathing. Eric has never seen him as anything other than a kid, and he never will. And now he's getting back together with his ex. Jeff stands under the spray until he's sure he's got it together. The water's run cold, but he doesn't really notice. He's here to look after Joey, and he's going to do that. He takes a while to get ready to go back downstairs, but once he hears Joey up and about, he knows he doesn't have much of a choice. "Oh, hey," Eric says, smiling at Jeff when he sees him. "I was just about to bring you some coffee. I thought you were trying to drown yourself in there or something." Jeff tries to laugh at the joke, and mostly succeeds. "No," he says. "I guess I'm just not used to working out." "Well, you know you're always welcome to use that stuff. Or I can get you a membership at the gym I went to this summer. They have a great daycare, so you could still go while I'm away." "It's fine," Jeff says. "I mean, you don't have to do that." "Are you okay?" Eric asks. "You look kind of pale." "I'm fine," Jeff says. "Are you sure? Because I can cancel on Toby if you want," Eric says. "If you're getting sick, then it's not fair of me to..." No, Jeff says, cutting Eric off. No, you should go. I'm fine.
If you're sure, Eric says.
But call me if you need me, okay? I'll bring you some soup or something.
I'm fine, Eric, Jeff says, far more harshly than he intends to. Enjoy your date.
It's not... I'll see you later, Eric says.
Jeff holds it together pretty well, he thinks. He makes pancakes for Joey and cleans up the kitchen a little. He takes Joey outside for a while so they can play catch, and then sits at the table with him, drawing pictures for him to color. It's only about 12:15 when he hears the car pull up, and he's pathetically grateful that Eric is back, so Jeff can go and hide in his room until he's ready to face the world again. It's not Eric who walks through the door from the garage, though.
Uncle Toby! Joey screams with absolute delight. He squirms out of his chair and runs across the kitchen. Toby is tall, African-American, in his 30s, maybe, and incredibly hot. He looks a little like Idris Elba. Jeff sits there, concentrating on the picture of a cat he's drawing for Joey to color.
Hey, kid, Toby says, crouching down to hug Joey. You've grown.
I'm 3 1/2, Joey says.
That's old, Toby says, sounding so happy to see Joey. He has that same stupid grin that Eric gets.
Jeff can feel his eyes itching. He blinks furiously. Eric walks in and stops, just watching Toby and Joey.
Daddy, Joey says. Uncle Toby.
I know, buddy, Eric says. Jeff doesn't know what to do. He can't stay and watch this, but if he gets up to leave, he has to walk right past them. He feels trapped and stupid, and he can't be in the room anymore.
Oh, jeez. Jeff, you look awful, Eric says. Go to bed, seriously.
I'm fine, Jeff says.
Hi, Toby says, standing up. You must be Jeff. Eric said you weren't feeling great, so I thought maybe he and I could take Joey out for the afternoon. Give you some time to rest?
Hi, Jeff says, getting up from the table and coming over. Nice to meet you. He shakes Toby's hand, and hopes he isn't shaking apart, although it feels like he is.
I was thinking we could stay here, Eric says. Maybe hang out on the deck or something? If Jeff's sick, I don't want to leave him here alone.
Toby laughs. You're such a mother hen, he says, putting a hand on Eric's lower back.
Seriously. Don't you have enough little brothers already?
Jeff pastes his smile to his face and heads upstairs. Eric and Toby just look so comfortable together, with little touches and looks. They look like a couple. He needs to talk to someone about this, so he sucks it up and texts Libby.
I'm sorry, I'm a dick. Please, I need to talk to you.
He gets an answer back almost instantly. Go fuck yourself. Jeff has to blink back tears. He feels shaky, and God, his breathing is ragged. Through his open window, he can hear Joey's laughter as he plays with Eric and Toby. It's a split-second decision. He can't be here anymore. He grabs his keys and heads downstairs. He leaves a note on the table. Gone to the store, in case Eric worries. But Eric probably won't even notice he's gone. He gets maybe 1/4 of a mile away,
and then he pulls into the parking lot of a closed doctor's office. Jeff's biting his lip hard enough that it's bleeding, but he barely notices. He pulls out his phone, and his hand is shaking as he finds the number. "Hi, Jeff," his mom says. "I thought you were busy today." "Mom," Jeff says, his voice shaky and quiet. "Jeff, honey," she sounds worried. "Jeff, are you okay? Where are you?" "Mom," he says again, but it breaks down into a sob. "Oh, baby," his mom says, and Jeff misses her so much. "I think I need to come home," he manages to say. "I don't think I can do this anymore." His mom murmurs nonsense at him while he cries, and everything just really hurts. This week, the fight with the best friend he has here, the way he feels about Eric, and the fact that Eric doesn't feel that way about him. "What happened, honey?" she asks again, once Jeff manages to calm down. "Eric's getting back together with his ex-boyfriend," Jeff says. "Oh, sweetheart," she says. "I'm so, so sorry." It's not like Jeff ever told his mom how he felt about Eric, but he's not going to pretend that she didn't know. "I'm such an idiot," he says. "I knew he didn't like me. I knew it, but I don't know." Jeff wipes his eyes with the sleeve of his shirt. "I just hoped." "He's so much older than you, honey," she says. "He's a dad." "It's only 8 years, Jeff says, but it sounds hollow even to him. "And I love Joey, too." "I know you do," his mom says. I don't know if I can be here and watch him with someone else," Jeff says. "It's just..." He chokes back a stray sob. "Mom, I just want to come home." "You know you always can, baby," she says. "But you worked so hard to get to college. You have a break at American Thanksgiving, don't you?" "I have to take care of Joey," Jeff says. "I said I would. It's the only reason I made it down here in the first place." "Jeff," she says, "honey, Eric has family and friends who can help out if he needs it. You've done far more than anyone would expect you to, and you need a break. But then I'd just come back, and everything would be the same," Jeff says. I have no friends here. It's not even cold. I want to come home." Jeff knows he sounds like Joey, but he doesn't care. "I thought you'd made good friends," his mom says. "You're always talking about your study groups, and what are their names? Libby? Matthew?" "Matt," Jeff says. "But Libby won't talk to me, and Matt's in love with her, so..." "Oh, sweetheart," his mom says, laughing a little. "God, you sound like you've had an absolutely terrible week." Jeff laughs a little too, but it turns into another sob. "I really have," he says. "Come home for a few days," his mom says. "You need a break, and if Eric Stahl makes a fuss, you tell him to call me." Jeff really does manage a laugh then, at the image of his mom staring down Eric. He'd have no chance. "And we can talk about finding you a new place to live," she says. "Mom," Jeff says. "Sweetheart," she says. "I know you wanted to do it yourself, but we can pay for your housing. And isn't Joey's mom back soon anyway? You don't have to stop being friends with them, or even stop looking after Joey. but maybe you need some of your own space. Jeff shrugs and then remembers that his mom can't see him. I guess, he says. Maybe. We can talk about it when you're home, she says. And I'm sure whatever it is with your friends will work out. Remember how you and Jilly are sometimes, when you can't stand the sight of each other, and then suddenly you'll find a way to work it out. Jeff feels very young all of a sudden. I miss you, he says. And we miss you too, baby, she says. You call me any time you need me. I don't care if it's the middle of the night. Call me, okay? They say their goodbyes, and Jeff wipes his eyes again, trying to make himself look human. He realizes he's only a few blocks from that diner where he met Libby a few weeks ago, and, after he's checked that he has his wallet, he decides to hide there for a few hours. Jeff nurses coffee and a pile of cheese fries with brown gravy. It's not real poutine, and he gets some funny looks when he asks for it, but it reminds him of home. Hey. Jeff looks up, and Libby's standing there. You look terrible, she says. Yeah, Jeff says, trying to keep his voice even. It's been a pretty terrible week. It really has, Libby says. I'm sorry for being such... Well, and especially for that text this morning. No, Jeff says. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have lied. Or I should have told you everything when you found out about Joey. Just... It doesn't matter, Libby says, taking the seat opposite Jeff. I thought you were laughing at me behind my back. You know, stupid Libby, always talking about how great the guy I live with is. Jeff cuts her off. God, no, I'd never. I know, she says. You're the best friend I have, he says. Not Eric Stahl, she says, only a little bitterly. Jeff takes a deep breath. He can trust her. He knows he can. Yeah, well, he has a new boyfriend. Or, well, he's back with the old boyfriend, he says. Libby's eyes go wide, but Jeff can almost see her have to shake off the fact that it's Eric they're talking about. God, she says, that really sucks. She takes the seat opposite him and starts stealing his fries. This is actually pretty good, she says. They sit there for a long time, not really talking. It's okay, though. It feels comfortable. More comfortable than anything has felt in a week. By the time Jeff finally does go home, it's close to time for dinner. Eric is in the kitchen, chopping vegetables, and Joey is quietly sitting on the floor, playing with his favorite truck. Hey, Eric says. I was gonna call you. You were gone a while. Yeah, Jeff says. Sorry, I ran into Libby. Eric's face hardens for a second. Oh, he says. That's really great. Yeah, Jeff says. She and I were kind of, I don't know, we had this dumb fight, but we fixed it. Great, Eric says, chopping a bell pepper kind of viciously. Yeah, Jeff says, feeling like he's missing half of the conversation. Well, you know you can always have your friends over here, Eric says. Or, you know, boyfriends. Girlfriends, whatever. Jeff feels like every muscle in his body is uncomfortably tense. Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure the Islanders will win the Stanley Cup before I ever have a girlfriend, Jeff says, snorting. I know I'm not exactly a stereotype, but that doesn't mean I'm not gay. Eric relaxes slightly. Yeah, sorry, he says. I know. I'm just going to go to bed, Jeff says. Maybe I am sick. I don't know. Yell if you need something, Eric says. Seriously, even if it's the middle of the night. Life really would be easier if Eric were an asshole more of the time. Jeff sleeps better than he has been, but he's still tired when he wakes up the next morning. He falls into his morning routine, getting himself and Joey up and dressed, and mostly ready to face the day. Eric is up and around too, making the coffee for Jeff and waffles for Joey, and handing each of them a dorky, packed lunch in a brown sack. Jeff can't help laughing at how proud Eric looks of himself. Hey, Jeff says, right before he needs to leave the house. I was talking to my mom yesterday. She really wants me to come home for Thanksgiving break next week. Just Wednesday through Sunday? Oh, Eric says. He doesn't look annoyed, really. He looks more disappointed, maybe. Of course, whatever you want. I know you have that Sens game, but... Eric cuts him off. No, don't even think about that, he says. I'll call Cody or Candace Gleason. Joey can have a sleepover. Eric grins, but his smile doesn't quite reach his eyes. Great, Jeff says tensely. I mean, I guess you were going to just have a quiet day. It's not like it's real Thanksgiving, or... He shrugs. I usually have the rookies over, Eric says. And the single guys, you know? Sounds fun, Jeff says. Family's more important, Eric says firmly, turning away to stack the breakfast dishes in the dishwasher. I guess you'll be having Toby over, Jeff says. Eric tenses for a second. Sure, he says, if he's in town. I'm sorry I'm going to miss it, Jeff says, even though the thought of Eric and Toby together makes his stomach twist. By the time Jeff gets to school, it's almost a relief to have to sit in an econ lecture he doesn't really understand. It still makes more sense than whatever's going on with Eric. Eric plays 3 games at home that week, and more than at any time since just after Jeff arrived, he seems to be around all the time. It seems kind of weird, given that he's restarting a relationship, but maybe that's why. Maybe he's storing up his Joey time so he can spend more time with Toby, once Toby's settled. Skip class today, Eric says on Thursday morning. What? Jeff says. I was thinking, Eric says. I was going to take Joey skating over Thanksgiving, but you won't be there. So... Skip class. We can take him this afternoon. You know I can't do that, Jeff says. You take him. Have some family time. Eric bites his lip. Jeff, I'm not going to take him without you, he says. I want you to be there. Joey will want you to be there. Eric, please. Eric says, cutting Jeff off. What time? Jeff says finally. It's not like he's miraculously gained the ability to say no to Eric in the last week. Jeff picks Joey up from daycare at lunchtime.
Libby looked at him pityingly after he explained why he was skipping out, but she didn't say anything. He has to type in the address of the Canes' practice rink into his phone to get directions, but he arrives at just the right time. Zach Dalpy is clearing the ice of all the stray pucks, and Eric is leaning against the boards, talking to Bryn DeMore, who Jeff would recognize anywhere. Eric spots them and waves, grinning widely. "Hey," he says, "5 minutes?" Jeff nods and picks up Joey so they can watch Dalpy.
Eventually, when Dalpy is done, and Bryn DeMore has wandered into the locker room to talk to somebody else, Eric motions them around to the bench.
"Hi, Daddy," Joey says. "Hey, buddy," Eric says. "You ready to skate?" Joey nods vigorously. Jeff sits down and puts on his skates. It's not the first time he's worn them since he wrecked his knee, but he's out of practice, and for a moment before he gets used to them, they feel uncomfortably tight. "Now me," Joey says, kicking his feet towards Jeff. Eric smiles as Jeff carefully helps Joey into his skates. "Mom got them for him a couple of weeks ago," Eric says. "Jeff's are different," Joey says, pointing at Jeff's black figure skates. "That's right, buddy," Eric says. "Yours are hockey skates, like mine. Jeff's are for figure skating." "Want ones like Jeff?" Joey says. Eric looks absolutely stricken, and Jeff can't help laughing. "Maybe next time, buddy," Jeff says. Once Joey's got his skates, helmet, and gloves on, Jeff helps him through the door of the bench and onto the ice. Eric takes one of Joey's hands, and Jeff takes the other one. And slowly, Joey shuffles across the ice. After a while, Jeff notices that they have an audience. Half the team is hanging out watching them, and what looks like a couple of reporters are behind the glass. "Don't you guys have anything better to do?" Eric yells. "Scoping out the competition," LaRose yells back. "You know Minnie Stahl's at the top of the 26th draft class." Eric laughs. "Yeah, well," he yells back, "right now he wants to get figure skates like Jeff." The rink echoes with laughter, and Jeff's glad he's so far away that none of them can see him blush. "Hey, Stahler," one of the reporters calls out. "You mind if I twitpick this?" Eric looks over at Jeff, who shrugs. Joey is Eric's kid, so it's his decision. "As long as you can't see Joey's face," Eric says. "His mom will yell at me otherwise." Joey gets a little more confident as they shuffle around the rink, and a half hour later, he's skating on his own, with Jeff skating backwards in front of him, just in case. A few times, Joey topples over, but he just laughs and gets right back up again. Eric takes over for a while, and Jeff takes the chance to actually skate. His knee is feeling okay, and although he's not going to risk anything difficult, he sweeps down the rink, smoothly changing edges to make a broad figure eight across the ice. He lets his arm flow behind him gracefully, and remembers how much he loved this. He manages a few spins, and even a couple of jumps, before he catches an edge while trying a sit spin and topples onto the ice. He pushes himself up, laughing, and races up around the rink to get some speed before throwing himself into a double toe loop. He lands it cleanly, and only then notices the applause and catcalls from Eric's teammates. Jeff laughs and bows with a flourish. Eric is just standing there, Joey standing in front of him, and they're watching Jeff. "Jeff! Jeff! 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 Jeff!" Joey yells, shuffling towards him. "Hey, buddy," Jeff says, skating towards him. "Pull me," Joey says, and Jeff takes Joey's hands, skating backwards and towing Joey behind him. Eric just stands there, watching Jeff and Joey. Later, when Jeff checks his phone, there's an email from Libby. "What's up, superstar?" it reads, with a link to Twitter, which takes him to the TwitPic of Eric and him skating with Joey, captioned, "Joey Stahl gets his first skating lesson from his dad and Canadian figure skater Jeff Skinner." Jeff saves the picture to his phone. Today is exactly the kind of thing he has to remember. His life is amazing when he doesn't hope for stupid things that are never going to happen. On Friday night, the Canes beat the Sabres in a shootout. Jeff watches the game, trying to do his reading for Lit at the same time. But by the end of a nail-biting third, where the Canes come from behind to force overtime, the book ends up on the floor. Cam is a beast at the shootout, not letting a single shot in, and when Eric gets the only shot past Ryan Miller, Jeff actually bounces off the couch in glee and lands on the floor in kind of an undignified way. Oh, shit. Even though Jeff knows he's alone, he can't help looking around to make sure nobody saw that. Jeff is just clearing up in the den when he gets a text from Matt. "Tell your roommate that was awesome." "You were watching that," Jeff texts back. "Yes, Aaron had plans. So, with Libby." Jeff can't help but grin as he reads Matt's reply. He'd wondered why he hadn't heard from Libby all night. Jeff knows that Eric's probably going to go out with the team after a win like that. But it's not like Jeff's waiting up for him. Jeff has to finish his reading anyway, so he curls up on the couch and tries to concentrate as much as he can. It's tough, though. Jeff's still pretty exhausted from last weekend. It's a little after midnight when Jeff finally gives up. His bed seems like a long way away, though, so he just pulls the blanket that hangs on the back of the couch over himself and drifts to sleep. Jeff has no idea what time it is when he wakes up, but it's to the sounds of someone failing to unlock the front door. For a moment, he freaks out a little, but then he realizes that it's probably Eric. He forces himself up off the couch, but just as he gets to the door, Eric manages to open it and stumble in. "Hey," Eric says, his face lighting up when he sees Jeff. Jeff can smell the beer on him from 5 feet away. "Oh, wow," Jeff says, biting his lip to keep from laughing. "You had a good time tonight." "I had an awesome time tonight," Eric says, slurring his words and leaning into Jeff. "I can see that," Jeff says. Eric sways a little, and Jeff steps forward to steady him. "There were girls," Eric says. Women, but I didn't hook up with anyone." Eric sounds so emphatic now. He pronounces every word so carefully. "Great," Jeff says. "That's great." "I wouldn't do that, Jeff," Eric says, leaning on Jeff. "I really wouldn't." There is nothing Jeff wants to talk about less than the reasons Eric isn't going to hook up. "I know you wouldn't," he says finally. Eric just keeps leaning on Jeff. "I'm gonna sleep now," he says. Eric tries to lurch towards the den, making for the couch. But Jeff is not dealing with keeping Joey away from his very hungover dad if he can possibly help it. "Hey, no," Jeff says. "No, Eric. Bed, okay?" "Yes, bed," Eric says, and lurches the other way towards the stairs. Eric is heavy, but Jeff is strong, and even drunk off his ass, Eric has good balance. So together, they manage to get up the stairs and down the hallway to Eric's room. Jeff's never been in Eric's room before. He's never had any reason to. So, when he pushes open the door, he tries not to look around too much and invade Eric's privacy. It's a nice room, though. Not fussy, but really comfortable looking. There are a bunch of framed photos on the walls. Family portraits and pictures of what Jeff guesses is the farm in Thunder Bay. "Fed," Eric says, letting go of Jeff and lurching towards the huge iron frame bed that seems to take up half the room. It's not made, so Eric just sort of half collapses into it, still fully dressed and shoes still on. "Come on, Eric." Jeff hovers by the door, not sure what to do. "Fed, Jeff," Eric says, half muffled by the pillows. "Yeah, I know, Eric," Jeff says, rolling his eyes. "You need to at least take your shoes off, though." Eric just laughs and kicks his feet up. "Jesus Christ," Jeff says, and heads over to help Eric. He gets Eric's shoes off and considers helping him out of his jeans, but Jeff isn't going to cross that line. He's just not. "Fed, Jeff," Eric says again, reaching out towards Jeff. Jeff pulls the comforter over Eric. "Night," he says. Eric just snores, and Jeff can't help laughing. As he heads to the door, Jeff notices another picture. It's a framed photo of Joey and him sitting at the table, Joey asleep in Jeff's lap while Jeff studies. Jeff reaches out, about to touch it, before he realizes what he's doing and reaches to turn the light out instead.